I heard from, I don't know if you heard it, Lawrence sent a short note today, a short audio clip from a Skype meeting that he had attended. And I listened to it. It was nice to know that they are doing fine, doing well. So, did you hear that?
Yes, but just one time. I did a lot of things around and I didn't so remembered everything, you know. But yes, I hope to see him again, you know. I mean, on the fellowship Zoom now, and because I don't follow so much now, you know, from India. I saw some stuff, but there is not so much than waiting for, and I do not do my 101 with him, you know, during the India trip, you know, because I want to let them, you know, profit what they are doing, and
Exactly.
yes,
Yeah.
then.
Me neither. Yeah. We have normally we have a one-on-one on Fridays, and but I haven't bothered him with that because of their schedule, as you say. So, but next Thursday they'll be back on our Zoom fellowship, and then it probably will be filled in on everything that they have experienced. I look forward to that. It's going to be great.
Yes. They are going to share everything. We will be blessed to listen to what they did and what blessed them. And yes, I'm very thankful. Yes, today I went to the store and meet someone, you know, who you know, I thought I needed healing, but I offered, you know, was available, but I didn't because he just didn't accept, you know, but not, you know, her mom was Christian, his mom was Christian, his father was Jew, you know, and but he did not accept it. And he used to work for some monk, you know, and different people. And but it was not available. But I just, you know, did my job, inform him about what's available, about Jesus Christ, about, you know. But I would have liked.
That's great. It's like sowing. I mean, you sow seed and they might grow. We don't know. We do not know.
And I let him, you know, at peace and saying, okay. And, if you go, because he said he wanted to, go and see the monks, because there is a well-known place, here where, you know, there are some monks and, there is a church and, you know, well-known, but I said,
Oh,
okay.
Kim, bless
Yes, Kim.
you.
God bless you. And the dog, the dogs.
Yes, and the dogs. You're
Oh,
muted, Kim, so we don't hear you.
yes, we can't hear you.
Unmute. There we go.
There we
Okay, so
go.
he's right here beside me.
Look at
You
that.
see him?
Oh, yeah.
Rocky, Rocky,
Rocky.
I
Yeah, he's sleeping. And
can see.
she's just on her way up, I think.
Oh, that's
Okay.
lovely. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Willow.
Hello.
She's looking for her toy. And she'll bring the toy up on the sofa and then she goes to sleep with it in her mouth, a bit like Lily used to.
Yeah, I remember that. She
Yeah.
used to carry a toy around all the time in her mouth.
All the time. Yeah. It's a bit strange how they've got similar, characteristics. Like Rocky's a bit bigger than her and he'll put the, toy in his mouth and every time she goes to bite it, he just lifts his head so she can't reach it. And Alfie used to do that with all of them because Alfie was so tall, he just had to lift his head up. Nobody could reach the toy he had in his mouth. But
That is cute.
she wants to come up now. Hang on, I've got to put you down. Come on, they're getting so big now. You gonna say hello?
Hey, Rocky.
Hey, hello.
Hey, Rocky.
Rocky Balboa.
Say hello. Pretty girl. Willow. You're giving me a wash.
I love boxers. I grew up with a boxer, as you know, Kim.
Yeah. The beautiful dogs, Carl Morton. I know they're a bit manic, but to be real honest, when you've got two together, they, it's no different than having, in fact, I think it's easier than having one on their own because they play together, they exhaust each other, and then they cuddle up. You know, it's really not, it's not hard at all. When I say it is hard, but, because they're puppies, but I don't think it's any harder having two than it is just having one. Okay. Because that one is constantly looking for attention to play. And so when there's two, they exhaust each other, which is a good thing. So
that's a good thing.
And they're right beside each other now. I don't know if you can see.
It's a bit dark, but I can see roughly.
Yeah, that's because they blend well with the blanket they've sat on, I think.
Yeah, that's it.
She's laying over him now.
Yeah, I can see him.
Yeah, they're inseparable. They really are. That's been good. I've just finished speaking with Lawrence.
Okay.
They're off to Mumbai tomorrow.
Well, they're off to Mumbai now.
Yes. FA left tonight. I think Ethel, Marie and Winston are tomorrow evening. But Lawrence, Fred, Danny, Amber and Raj Sutton, they're leaving for Mumbai tomorrow. And then they're there Friday night, Saturday night and Sunday night. And then maybe it's Sunday night actually that they fly back to England. And they land at 10 to 3 Monday afternoon.
10 to 3?
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
that goes for Jason also?
Oh, and Jason. Yes, sorry, and Jason. Yeah. So they've all gone to Mumbai tomorrow. Okay. So I think they leave. Because Danny and Amber are staying at Sangit's with Nozomi. So I think they got to leave there around 10. Because their flight's at 2. Yeah. So, I think it's quite a short flight, actually. About an hour from Mumbai. I think we stopped there once when we went to Goa.
Yeah.
But it was a bit like a bus. You know, the plane, we got on the plane at Delhi and it flew to Mumbai. It went down on the ground. Some people got off and some people got on and then we took back off again. We didn't get off.
Mm.
And then we went straight to Goa from there. So we've not really been out of the plane. We've gone over Mumbai, which is unbelievable to see, honestly. Just all you see is blue tarpaulin everywhere around the around the airport.
Blue
for miles. It's like what they make their houses out of. It's like a blue tarpaulin. It's like a very, very, very strong plastic.
Okay. Is that on the roof or something?
That is their roof. That's their makeshift tent houses.
Okay.
Yeah. It is a sight to see. It goes on for miles all around the airport.
Wow.
Yeah. I think it would be like something like a tent city, I guess.
Mm.
Yeah. But we never actually got out of the plane. So it will be an experience for them to see it, I think. But there are quite a few new fellowships there at the moment, so that's why they've gone.
Yeah, so they're attending fellowships while they are in Mumbai.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's Lawrence, Danny, Amber, Fred and Jason. Yeah. And then they're all flying home to Heathrow, but then Fred, I think, is staying the night at Heathrow because he has like a 6 a.m. flight back to Texas on Tuesday morning. Yeah.
I see.
So, yeah, there was no point in him coming back here because he, no sooner had he got here, really, he'd have needed to have gone back to make sure he was in time for his flight. So.
Makes sense.
So I'll be very excited to have him home on Monday.
I bet.
It's been a long 3 weeks, actually.
I know. Yeah, that is a long time. That is a long time. 3 weeks, yeah.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't know how many we will be tonight, but, and I think Bambi is at work. I got that impression. Because she's not talkable. She is listening, I assume. Here also we have Peter coming to us.
Ah.
And look at this.
Yes, Peter, we see.
Hey, there's Peter. David, God bless.
Wow, and David also is coming, is there?
Hey, Carl Morton. Hey, Frank.
Hi.
Hi, Peter. God bless.
I'm leaving the camera off today.
Oh, fine. You know how good looking you are anyway.
Oh, jeez. How's everybody?
Good. Well, very good.
I'm fine. Well, I'm fine.
Good. Very good, Peter.
Hey, Kim.
God bless me, darling.
God bless you, hon. We say Lawrence, that without, we say hon and darling and sugar and all that.
Well, it is a bit strange because in England, my darling is usually you would say to a woman and all right, my lover to a man. But, anybody can be your darling, anyone.
Yeah.
So you're my darling, Peter.
I'm safe. Okay, good.
Sometimes they say, all right, my cocker.
Yeah, all right, the old cocker. Yeah, all right, the old cocker. But that's more a Londoner. Like Lawrence says that a lot. All right, the old cocker, how's this doing? And it's, but cocker, you would say to a man, you wouldn't say that to a woman.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Well, some women you might.
Oh, like me old lover, how this doing, you would say to a woman. So, yeah, it just distinguishes. If you've got a man and a woman stood together and you said, all right, me old cocker, you know he was talking to the man, not the woman.
Hey, Ken. Kim?
Yeah?
This is Dave DeGrantia.
Oh, hi, David. All right?
Hi. This is open to everyone, but does anyone ever call you sweetheart?
Lawrence.
Aw. Now, let me just say this. I don't think Don ever called me sweetheart, but when my sister came to visit, this was back right after Donna passed, and she flew up from Florida to Pennsylvania to be with me. It was like the weekend after it happened. And I had this entree with her that only God could arrange. Where I began to share the hope with her. And it was just amazing because God got to her that weekend because I shared how heaven was for real. And her son had passed away, about 4 years ago. He suddenly, I mean, this is heavy, but at the same time, I want you to realize that this was amazing what God did because you can imagine her heart was devastated, but the things that I shared with her brought to her hope for our Lord and Savior's return because God had given me three situations to draw from, which I shared with her. All three situations involved children that had encounters in heaven, and all three of those children had the same experience. They were all like 4 years old. One of them happens to be my neighbor. He had flatlined when he was 4 years old for 10 minutes. And the experience that he had was so compelling that every time he felt like talking about it, everybody stopped what they were doing and asked, oh, so what else are you experiencing? Because at one point they were in their car and Tyler said, Mommy, there's an angel right outside the car. And his mother, Courtney, said, oh, well, would you like to invite him into the car to be with us? And Tyler said, oh, no, Mommy, he's too big. And then, you know, there were other situations and they took this, there was this movie that came out, Heaven is for Real, and the experiences that this little boy had in the movie, which it's based on a book that, you know, this pastor wrote because his son experienced all these situations. And when Courtney read the book, she was like, oh my gosh, this is what Tyler's been going through. And, I share all these situations that the Father placed on my heart with my sister to the point where she was filled with hope. She was filled with hope that she would see her sons again. And she called me sweetheart when she left.
Wow, yeah.
She never called me sweetheart.
I think it's just a term of endearment, really, isn't it?
Yeah. It was pretty cool. And this morning I had an opportunity to share with my other sister. And it's just amazing. And my brother's been coming. He's been calling me every day. You know, this is my brother distanced himself from the rest of the family for probably 40 years. Not 40 years. I want to say at least 20 years because just things broke down in the family structure where he just became bitter. But when all this happened, you know, all of a sudden he's plugged back in.
That's great.
Isn't it? It's amazing. It's amazing how God gets to us. He gets to everyone that he's called. And some get called, some, you know, like from an early age, my family, just to give you a little background, my family just, we were very devoted because my parents were very devoted to worshiping God in the way that we knew how to worship and they taught us. And I remember talking to God as my father, I would talk to him all the time as a little child. And then as I got older, I got further and further away from it. And then I got involved in the ministry and I started to realize because of the love of the family and the expression of love that they communicated that my Heavenly Father had for me, I was getting back that relationship. And then I saw a bunch of religion steal it away from me and many others, and I stepped away from that system. And then another system was real sweet for a while, and then things got kind of sideways with that system. And then I stepped away from that to a smaller system, and then things went kind of sideways with that.
Isn't it amazing how religion will take you away from God?
Oh my yeah. God. And I just wanted a relationship. And I thank God that I married a woman who wasn't into the religious BS. She sniffed it out quicker than I did, because I was more of a yes man. She taught me to not just buy into anything. And
yeah, that's my walking with God is just so important, and it's just real simple, you know.
And then I met Patrick. Do you know Patrick?
No.
Patrick Dunn, he's a rebel. He stays on the outside and calls it like it is now. Sometimes, you know, he needs to be, you know, every one of us needs to be tailored by the love of God, but it's nice to have a few of us that stand up and, say something.
Amen to that.
Yeah. And Donna was the type that would just confront anybody if they were trying to lord over, and she would just call it out for what it was.
David, can I interrupt you and tell you something? It's really on my heart to tell you this. I mean, I'm sure you might already know this, but I've lost a loved one too, a spouse, and I just look at it like, you know, one day, every day is one day closer to seeing them again if they're, you know, born again, you know, instead of grieving or like being sad. I just like, okay, when I see them again, you know, when I see Dee Dee again, that was her name, Dee Dee. When I see Dee Dee again, it's going to be great. It's going to be a wonderful time. I'm going to have my friend back and we're going to get to spend time together. And I just look forward to it. You know, this life is shorter than you think. So, if you flip it around and look at it on a positive light, it makes things a lot easier.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to tell you that. You probably.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You know, I definitely pick up everything that you're putting down. And this guy Wayne that God put me with, we've been talking almost on a daily basis, and he's got a Roman Catholic background, and it was just really cool to hear him say how he's getting back to that relationship, and he's actually part of a pilot program that's going to focus on the relationship that God has with each of his children. And he was part of the early charismatic movement in the Catholic Church right around the time that there was a huge explosion, that started in Haight-Ashbury in the late 60s, early 70s. Maybe some of you have watched the Jesus Revolution. That's about how that revival, they say, is the biggest revival in the history of the United States. And then it exploded throughout the world. And the Way Ministry was a part of that, because the same guy that's in the Jesus Revolution, his name was Lonnie Frisbee. He had become part of the Way Ministry after he left the church that basically he helped start. It was a pastor. I'll just give you a brief synopsis and let you watch the movie. But this pastor was wanting to teach the things that he was learning, and his daughter said, "Hey, you know, there's a guy down the road here that he's a hippie, but he's talking about making it live, and he's talking about miracles. Dad, you should invite him." So he ended up inviting this Lonnie Frisbee to his church, and his church exploded from maybe 25 people to over 2,500 in a matter of a couple months, because all of a sudden Lonnie Frisbee was bringing all these people that were excited about seeing God in a tangible way, where God was moving the thing. And there were signs, miracles, and wonders, and they even called him a modern day Moses.
Yeah.
But then, like with many ministries, the thing fizzled because they made it about a man, and the man just started to fizzle, and so did the,
Amen.
So did the work. And that's what separates what we're doing, because it ain't about a man.
No. We're right in the middle of another revival over in India and Nepal. I mean, it's like Lawrence is over there right now. So it's like all the signs, miracles, and wonders are happening, and thousands of people are getting born again. It's And there's millions of people over there. So we're ready for that re-revival over here. I'm glad you mentioned that, David. That's really cool.
Very true. Very true. I wonder if I can cut through and do like we normally do when we have these fellowships, is that we open with a word of prayer and I would like to say welcome to this Zoom fellowship on this March 7th.
March the 7th,
yeah. And God bless to everyone, and I'm very blessed that we are all together here to enjoy each other's fellowship and also our fellowship with God Almighty, so that we can enjoy what He has in His heart to us through each and every one as we walk with Him. So I would like to ask Kim, please, if you could open us up with a word of prayer.
I certainly will. So Heavenly Father, we truly thank you for this wonderful night, God, for the great opportunity that we can come together, that we can praise your name. I thank you for all that you do and everything that you are to each individual, God, that you are our Heavenly Father, that we can walk and talk with you, that you can inspire us, you can lead us and guide us through that Christ that dwells in us richly. I thank you especially for Lawrence tonight, that he gets a great sleep, for their flight tomorrow to Mumbai, just for their safe takeoff and landing, God. Protect the plane, my husband and Danny and Amber, Fred and Jason, God, and let them have a wonderful few days in Mumbai before they fly home on Monday. So I thank you for each individual on this Zoom fellowship. I thank you for each person having that heart's desire to want to share what's going on in their lives with you, God, and just how you are no respecter of persons, that whatever you do for one, you'll do for another, God. That all you require is that we have that faith, that we have faith in you, that we abound in that faith, God, and that we abound in hope too. So I thank you for a great night in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Amen. For that word of prayer. That's beautiful. I was, yesterday I attended a fellowship here locally in Norway, and actually a Zoom fellowship. I mean, a Skype fellowship. And, hello, ML. See you there. And,
hello.
Hello. And, I was, a couple of days before the fellowship, I read a part in Philippians, which just stood out to me in a way that I had to share it yesterday. And since it was so strong on my heart, I thought I might mention it again. I mean, this is a scripture reference that we all know about, and it's in chapter 4. And it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And that's a list of only positive things. There's nothing, no reference there to our empty bank account, our empty gas tank, our empty anything. It's only reference to good things which are to think about. And the word think, if you go deep into it, it means more like not only think, but consider and to be aware of and to be focused on. And that means that the context, be careful for nothing, because we are to think about the things of God and not to think about the things that is surrounding us, not to think about the so-called facts, which always change from one day to the next. Facts changes. Truth never change. The word of God is true, and it will always be true. And when God talks to us, when God inspires us, it's always the truth that is that he is telling us, and we are to think about those things which are good and which are positive. So we shouldn't let the circumstances speak more loud than God's word, because God's word is always the strong point in our lives. That's what a ship will anchor onto to have a safe harbor, and will always be on, how shall I put it, stay safe. And we are safe when we are with God, when we walk with God and we think about his word and think about what he has been given us. So it just, that scripture really stood out to me here the other day when I read it, and I thought, goodness, I've read it a thousand times, but I've never really thought about it as much as it really made a point to me. So that's what I just wanted to start up with. And I would like to leave it with that and ask someone else to share with us what the person has on his heart, and that is Frank, my brother in France. I know that you are getting up early tomorrow, Frank, so that I would like you to go early so that you can withdraw whenever you want to do that, and have it so that you can, yeah, share with us what's on your heart.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm very thankful for this day that God has made, and to this day, you know, God fulfilled everything in this day, and my faith is that nothing is lacking, and this day is fulfilled by God, by his grace, by his power manifested, and for his enrichment. And my life, you know, is based on each day, you know, 24 hours. And my faith is ready that God is going to fulfill everything. And this day was a rest day. I didn't work except a little because I had to remove some stone in a wall, you know, where I'm going to live. For having electricity, they put a box, you know, and need to do something. And I also went to a store and met someone. I made available for him to be healed. He had some problem to his left knee and different things also. And I spoke about Jesus Christ, and, you know, healing is available, but it was not opened, I can say, to that. But, you know, I stay calm, and I just, you know, let him being blessed, even if he didn't choose to receive healing. And this guy also works with monks, and there is a place, as I was speaking to Carl just before, there is a place in where I'm living, not far from where I'm living, where there are some monks. And I went one time because there is like a library, and they are selling food and cheese and different things that they are making. And but I when I went over there, I was looking for a Bible, but it's always Catholic, you know, and I was like searching for another one. But it was good to go, and it's in the forest, and it's good. Then yes, I know that God has a plan for each one of our life, and he has we are empowered by God, and his spirit is dwelling in us. It's not we are sealed, you know, and I read again, you know, Ephesians, where it says that we are sealed from God, and there is no It's like my thinking is like it's like when we are underwater, you know, all water is around, you know, and the Spirit of God is also around and inside us, and we can really move with God and do everything that He made available for us to do. And the Ministry of Reconciliation is also a great thing that we have, you know. It's like it's a right for us to do it, and we just, you know, are encouraged to pray for laborers, and we know that God is sending them, and we are ready to speak, ready to move, ready to heal, really ready to deliver whatever, you know, we speak. And we know that we have a power through our speaking. When we, you know, the chords moves and we speak out loud, and God is really a powerful God to do what what is intended by God when something has to be done. It can be stop raining, stop snowing, you know, stop tempest, whatever. We have a great authority on the elements of the creation, and what Adam and Eve lost, we recovered through Jesus Christ, and we can do everything that God inspired us to do. And it's not like we the impossible is from God. We just do our part when we need the impossible, and God by faith, you know. It's not about the amount of faith, it's just to have faith, even if it's very small, you know, like a very small grain. It is very, very powerful. And yes, I think it's all I wanted to share. I'm very blessed, and thank you very much for letting me speak, and thank you, Carl, and God bless you, everyone.
Thank you too, Frank, and thank you for your sharing. That is so true. We have the Ministry of Reconciliation, and when you talk to this guy today, and even though the person didn't believe the word right away, I mean, it's we are sowing seed, and we do not have the control over seed. We just know that when we sow, things will happen. It's like any kind of grain, like you mentioned, a mustard grain, which is the smallest of all grains, which is considered our faith, our believing. If you only believe, things will happen. If you only sow, things will happen. If you only speak the word of God, unbelieving lips, things will happen. It's not magic, it's just a law. When God spoke, things took place. When Jesus Christ spoke, things took place. And the same with us. When we speak, things will take place. And it's not anything strange. It's just that our mind might not have grown to that level of accepting or believing or thinking that it's possible. But it is. I mean, everything that God does is possible, and He can do whatever He has empowered to do. And we know that He is almighty, so He can do anything. So when we go to Him in prayer, He will do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think. So we just have to take God on His word, and take His promises to us, and simply tell Him and remind Him that, God, did you promised this, didn't you? And then He will act. So when Abraham talked to God in the Old Testament, when he talked to said, if there are 50 people, faithful people in this city, will you then hold back your wrath towards this Sodoma? And God said yes. And he said, what about if it's 45? It's like negotiating all the way down to, was it 10 people, he said? He said, yeah, I'll hold my wrath back. And then God walked off. And then we know that he did actually let all the righteous people out of the place before it was consumed. So we can trust God on his promises. And when he says something, he holds it. I mean, he holds on to it. We can trust him. Okay. I would like to ask what's going on in Florida. Peter, if you are there.
And I'm here. I am here. Thank you. Yeah, it's true. God can do whatever he wants, you know, and he wants us blessed and he wants us happy. And I've been learning that more and more, you know, as you just go to him, you know, moment by moment sometimes, you know, that he's got the right solution and the right answer and, you know, the right thing to bless us during the day. It says, in the word it says, daily he loads us up with benefits. I like that, you know. I like benefits. I'm a benefit. I like the benefits of God. And it says also that at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. And so, and guess where we are? We're sitting at the right hand of the Father. So, you know, we've got that ability to be blessed and to be happy. And I've been seeing that more and more. I like to watch travel videos, you know, these people that are professional YouTubers and they get out here and, you know, they'll go to like Vietnam or Mexico or some other place and they'll document their whole trip and their video is like 2 hours long and it's like taking a vacation and I don't even have to go anywhere, which is perfect for me because I'm not a big traveler, but I like it. I like being able to see places, but God's been, you know, blessed me with being able to see some of the things like that. But also with understanding too, it's like, you know, it's like, just, I forgot what I was going to say. It's okay. God's got wisdom and understanding for us too, in many different ways. You know, it's like, oh, I know what it was. I was listening to a teaching by Sangit and he's like, how to start to walk with God, how to actually walk with God. And it's like God works on the heart. He'll put something on your heart that really strong that he would like you to do. And then if you're listening to that, you go and you do whatever he puts on your heart. And then it's on to the next thing and on to the next thing. And that really blessed me because that kind of gave me, you know, a little bit of a realizing when God was doing something is, you know, realizing that something's really strong in my heart that's going to be a blessing then to do it, you know. And he's really concerned about every little detail of our lives. And sometimes it's hard for me to fathom that the most powerful being that's ever existed, as far as we know, is deeply concerned about every little detail of my life. You know, little old me here in Florida, you know. It's like, it really blesses me. And it blesses me that I have a family of believers that I can get on here with and converse and to share, you know, what's on my heart with them and they can share what's on their heart with me. And it's just a really great, it's like a little bit of heaven on the way to heaven. And I like that. You know, and we don't have to walk by our own understanding. We can look at God and God can inspire us to walk the way he wants us to walk. And then there's great profit and great benefit. And that's what we hear from Sangit all the time in Lawrence and over there in India, you know, just walking by that spirit and talking by that spirit that there's great profit and great, great benefit from just listening to God, just staying next to God and, you know, not wavering, not going by our own understanding, not going by the world, not going by what your neighbor says or what even a family member might say. And even though they might say good things, you know, but still it's nothing compared to what God says. And choose the right, you know, the right doctrine, the sound words, the fresh bread from God. You can't go wrong. So I'm going to end it there, and God bless you guys.
Thank you, Peter. That's really something else. That's true. What you're saying is that anything with the Spirit, we can do anything by God. And because we are so limited physically, and we are unlimited spiritually, and we can do all things like is it Zechariah? It says that not by my power, not by power, or nor by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And that's exactly what it is. The next verse says something about making hills plain. And that means we are to face our problems, like in Matthew, or isn't it? Where it says that if you say unto this mountain, you have to lift up and drop in the sea. That's what happens. Because these mountains, whether they are physical problems, they are.
Can I share one more thing? I just remembered something.
Go ahead, Peter.
I was going to be cutting myself a little short, but, you know, I realized that I've been trying to handle the adversary on my own. You know, that because I have this spiritual power that I've been given, that somehow I'm able to deal with whatever he throws at me. And that's just not the case. I mean, because really it's God's job to battle the adversary, not mine. And that was a big revelation for me, like yesterday, that I don't have to fight him. All I have to do is go to God with whatever he's doing, and he can handle it. And I'm okay with that, you know, and that takes a lot of stress off of me, a lot of pressure, and a lot of stuff I just don't need, because God is way more able to handle him than I am. So, and I don't need to be doing it myself. I don't need to be doing it by my abilities or, you know, whatever. So if that helps somebody, I'm really blessed to hear that, you know. So thank you. Now I'm done.
That's great, Peter. Thank you. I tell you, that's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 onwards, right there. Because that's exactly what it is. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle on a spiritual level. And we have already won the victory in Christ. So that as long as we put on the mind of Christ, we have already won. We have the mindset that it takes for us to belittle the adversary. I mean, he is the reason why he's crawling. Is that he is disarmed and he's defeated. He has no arms. He has no legs. He is not able to move at all. He is so beneath us. And wherever we are on that body of Christ, where he is the head, Christ is the head, wherever we find a spot on his body, we are above the adversary. And it's very, I heard yesterday the other day, an expression with this ek below. We are so used to this expression of casting, God is to send out laborers upon our prayer requests, and because it's his desire for us to have them. And the same word goes also for casting out, casting out devils. And when we see the authority behind that, we will be able to visualize it even more. That we definitely, there's no doubt, have the authority to cast out devils if they are bugging others or us or anything. And there's no limit to that, neither in distance or in whatever. So, and the same thing when we are to pray for outreach and for laborers and for workers, like we are also workers with God. We are fellow laborers with Him. And, He's the best employer there is. Couldn't be a better, retirement system, when it comes to God's, ability to fulfill our needs after our, a career as workers, because He will always take care of us. So that was a lot of things at one time. All right. I see, Becky is on, and I know that Becky has kids which wake up who wake up early in the morning. So maybe you have a need to share early so that you can close down whenever you need to. So please, Becky, I'd love to hear what's on your heart.
Hello, God bless you, Kyle Martin, and thank you very much for asking me to share. I'm actually going to pass on to Jack, because Jack would like to share tonight also, so I'm going to pass it over to him.
Hello, good evening, how are you doing, all right? Yeah, good. So basically, I'm just wanting to share a few things. It's coming to my heart to share. So basically, started off, I put myself to God the other night. So I haven't been very involved with it. Obviously, I'm a believer. I do pray, and but I keep myself a bit quiet because I find it hard what to say, sort of thing. So, I sat there the other day and I closed my eyes and I said to the big man, I said, can you please come to me now? I need your help really bad. I really confessed to him and, opened up to him a lot. And he answered my prayers. Like this last year, everything's come together for me. Absolutely amazing. I've started a business, passed my driving test. I'm earning exactly what I wanted to earn and a bit more. And it's all because I've been confessions and I've just been confessing, speaking in tongues, and everything just worked out absolutely amazing for me. And, so I said to myself, I'm going to put myself forward a bit more with my faith. Mm. And, so I put myself here tonight because I want to, just felt like I wanted to speak and share that with everyone. But yeah, really, confessions is really a big thing. Like, confession, writing it down, and just sat there basically and going to God, having your own time with Him. Not necessarily speaking out loud. I sat there in my thoughts just before I went to bed a lot. And it really, really helped me. And things just opened up massively for me. Unbelievable. I couldn't have, it's the proof is there for me in the pudding, you know? So I was really humbled by it. Everything that's happened, and it's only happened when I've sat there and I've really, really went to God with all my prayers. And beforehand, it wasn't happening. Like, obviously, I pray and that, but it wasn't really, like, the heart wasn't there necessarily. It was just like a quick little prayer if I went to bed, but I actually really opened up. And things have taken off massively. So it's a very short and a sweet talk, because I find it hard what to say, to be fair. I really find it hard with words. I'm not really good with words. So I just wanted to say that basically. My actions is spoken for me, and my answers have been answered. So I'm going to leave it there and pass you to Becky. So it's nice and short and sweet, but thank you very much.
Hello guys, God bless you all, and wonderful name of Jesus Christ. And yeah, again, it's just been an absolutely fantastic week of just real sitting and praying, answered prayers being answered, as Jack said, because it is about getting closer to God. It's really about ensuring that each decision, every day that when we wake up, we decide to put God first. We decide that we're going to speak of God. We're going to really put our minds and our hearts to God. And I love what Jack shared, just because when you have a great need, we all have a great need for God. But when there's those pinnacle points in life where you really give your heart to God and you really cry out and he answers you, that really can humble you in such a beautiful way, because those are the times that you really start to learn to experience God. And that's where, when you experience God by yourself, no one can ever take that away from you. And I've had many of this for the last few years, when you really sit and, or stand, or kneel, whatever you choose to do with God, you can, and give your heart to him. He's truly going to answer each and every one of our prayers. He's really going to give you your heart's desires. He's going to show you a path that you may never have dreamt of, that you know, when we look at the verse of scripture, God does exceedingly abundantly above more than you ask or think. God will do this when you start to really truly believe the words is being spoken. And again, the words that we try to speak within the household, to really ensure that what we are saying is in a positive manner, even if 1 week might not be fully, you know, it might not look as if it's going to be completely fantastic. We keep our words and we keep saying what God says, because what God says is so much more important than what the circumstances say. And the circumstances could try and, you know, it's try and like annoy us, you know, like a little bit. What's the word? Like, you know, when a child's sitting there tapping, it can really annoy you. And that's what circumstances are like. That if we focus on it, we can get really start to get quite frustrated. We can start to feel different emotions. But God says, look to me. He says, come to me, my child, and look to me. And I will take each and every one of your circumstances, and I will bring them for your good. So anything that is happening, when we start to speak God over it, when we start to believe the words that is being spoken, that we start to speak from God's mouth rather than the mouth of the ways of the world and how the world tries to promote the things and tries to make us believe how it is. God is true and he is living. He wants each and every one of us. He wants each and every one of us to have a true relationship with him, that we can sit more and more each day, have that heartfelt conversation with him. And sometimes there is a real urgency to go to God. But when this, we should have an urgency each day, but sometimes there's real time to really just pour your heart out and say, Lord, you know, help me in this situation. Or, you know, for Jack, it was such a great testimony, because many people can, we get, which is absolutely wonderful. Many people can pray for us, which is, we are all so thankful that people do pray, because we all know the power of prayer. But when you do it yourself, and when you see that God comes through, then that feeling and that thankfulness, and when your eyes are opened to the power of God because of his prayer, then it is great. It's wonderful. And you start to feel a little bit more free, because you start to then trust that, and really trust that God is there. He's answering your prayers, and you can walk freely knowing that you don't need to be worrying about anything, that you can live your life with a great mindset, that you can wake up even if things aren't perfect, because we're always going to have things there, but we can see things from God's perspective. We can see things in a positive manner, that actually even if things aren't perfect, that today is such a great day, that this is the day the Lord has made, and we are going to be glad in it, you know. We're going to be glad each day. We're going to be thankful each day and grateful each day that we have a Heavenly Father who loves us. And I'm just so glad and thankful again for the week. It's been a wonderful week. Many new things have arose this week, you know, some really exciting things for myself and my family, and who are going to really be pushing forward in doing, you know, so I will explain later in the next few weeks, what is going on. But right now I'm just in a very thankful place of how God works and how God answers each and every one of our prayers, that when we look to Him and only to Him, He's going to push you forward into greatness. He's going to ensure that what you really desire in your heart, that will come to pass. So I really encourage you all to really go to God with your full heart. Keep Him first in everything that you're doing, and let God take control over what you're doing, and let go and let Him move, because He really will move in such a great direction and see things that you may never have thought you would have seen. And He will give you wisdom in places that, you know, you didn't think that you would be able to be wise against, and you will have the answers. Not you will have the answers, but God will give the answers, and He will give it to you. And it's just, yeah, it's a wonderful place to be. So I thank you guys, and I love you, and I really I pray you're all okay. I trust you're all okay with God, and know that this is a great year and a great time. So God bless you.
God bless you too, and thanks Jack, and thanks Becky for your sharing. That was something. Humble hearts that God has ability to really carry us through. And I can see that in your lives. That's beautiful. That is something else. I really love you for that. So thank you so much for your sharing.
Thank you, Carl Martin.
I love you.
I love you.
I would like to go to way back into the United States, and there is one man called Van Peterson. If you are there, brother, if you have anything on your heart that would like to share with us.
Yes, absolutely. I'm so glad to hear Peter, and very encouraging, and Jack, that was great. Absolutely. And, here, and for me, the thing that I'm, well, I love what Becky said, because you might not see the things right away, but you just keep going, keep going, and keep confessing and keep saying the things that you desire, as God's word says. Because the battle that, well, I'll just speak for me, the battle that I have is the old man nature and the new man nature. So the old man doesn't see things coming right away, and then gets disappointed or distracted. And I need to switch it back over to the new man to keep moving forward. And one of the things in one of my one-on-ones was cease from my own works. Well, I'm not perfect at it, but I am doing my best. And it is difficult sometimes when you see other people that you want to help and you think you know what's best for them. But you have to realize that you just need to pray for them, maybe a word of encouragement or just love when it's needed. But there's a fine line between doing that and then playing God, where you go ahead and start trying to answer their prayers or get your prayers answered. In other words, ceasing from my own works. So those are big things that I'm learning. If you're not, and I try to learn every day different ways, whether it's, listening to, you know, listening to God's word or, reading a book and just different things like that to grow. And, but the thing that, which just reminded me, and I'm so glad that I got on, was the last three, Peter, Becky, and Jack. What I heard, obviously, is sometimes things are not moving the way you need them to move. And what you do is you, what I need to do is hold my ground, continue to go into my Father, ceasing from my own works. That came up in my memory. Cease from my own works. Give everything to him. Cease from my own works. Let him take care of it in the timing that needs to be taken care of. And the good thing is, if I have to look at it as a whole, I would have rushed in a long time ago, but thank God I didn't rush in. And I need to pat myself on the back and say, I have ceased from my own works in many, many areas. But then you trip up and you do something and then you condemn yourself. Again, that's the walking in the old, nature as opposed, and you gotta okay, stop that. What does God say about me? And then move that way. Cease from my own works. No condemnation. Keep moving. Say what I desire, not what I see. And just keep moving forward that way. And, again, like, someone said here that sometimes you don't see it moving, but I have to realize that God is moving all the time. And I've got multiple examples in my life where he's just delivered me out of every situation, possible, and just great stuff happens. I mean, just amazing in my life. So I know great stuff's on its way, and, the anticipation is great, and I'm just going to be patient, continue to push forward, continue to be thankful, continue to grow, continue to say what I desire, realizing all the things that my Father has done for me. It says in his word, he set us up on high. You know, he's made us the, like everybody says, the head, not the tail. You know, I don't need to glorify the adversary. I don't need to give him anything that happens. I don't need to even tell anybody about it or speak about it. I need to just go to my Father and give it to him and move from there. So, and then having the Spirit of God work within me, continue to grow in that area. I don't believe that you just get the Spirit of God, you get born again, which, you know, obviously a long time ago I was, and you stay neutral, or there's different ways that God works in you, or everybody for that matter. And so I need to continue to learn that way. I love what Jack said, you know, go quietly and talk to him and sometimes not say anything or spill your heart out. So those are great examples for me, for Peter and Jack, and then what Becky said. And I'm just super thankful to have brothers and sisters in Christ like that. And obviously you, Carl, great, you know, thank you. Thank you for running the, fellowship here. And, just want to say, you know, ceasing from my own works, ceasing from my own works, give it to my Father. I can, you know, if Jesus Christ said, I can do nothing of myself, why am I trying to do something of myself? If my Lord and Savior said, I can do nothing of myself, you know, the words I hear, that you hear, my Father gives to me. So cease from my own works. And I'm dragging around this dead body, and I got to realize that, dragging around a dead body, cease from my own works. I can do nothing of myself. And, that's what I'm going to just continue to say to myself and keep praying for the people I need to pray for and stay thankful for the people I need, you know, obviously situations or whatever God brings to me. So anyway, just thank you guys so much.
Thank you too. That is right on. That's right on the notes. I mean, we can't do anything by our own might. And that is so true. So, very good pinpointed. We are definitely, in God's, it's all by God's grace. We can't add anything to anything because, everything that needs to be done, it's already in His hands. So either it has been done and we just have to accept it, or it's still in the future, and in that case we can't do anything about it. And if it is something that we are to be walking into, like He has prepared the ways for us to walk in, well, let's start walking, and He will guide us one step at a time. It's just like speaking in tongues. We can't say word number two before we said word number one. And like we know examples in the Book of Acts, people were told to go somewhere, but they didn't know where, why, and for what occasion. But they went. And if they hadn't gone, we wouldn't have any record on what took place. For instance, Peter, when he was sitting on the rooftop praying, and he saw this sheet being lowered with lots of animals, etc. And we knew that he was taken in Acts 10, was it? Was it, I believe? And the first Gentiles to be born again. So he was listening to God and did what God had told him to. And if it was up to him to decide what to do, that definitely would not have taken place. So, yes, by humble heart and following Him, we know that things does definitely happen. I would like to stay in the States and ask David the Grandchild if you have anything more on your heart. You did share earlier tonight, but I think I was I interrupted you earlier, so I don't know if you have anything more on your heart, brother. So if you do, please.
Yeah, welcome. You might have to stop me again like you did the last time, because there's been a lot that God's been really blessing me with. I get really excited and really thrilled at what He's been doing. I think on the last Zoom, I was so blessed being reminded of all the people that He's placed in my life that have brought me to this place. And then I mentioned this guy that God connected me with just recently, and he's just so open to the things of God, and I was just so amazed that he's receiving from the Father, and he's readily receiving what I'm sharing with him about that relationship that we have. I was just so thrilled that another Catholic boy thought the same that I did 30, 40 some years later. He was raised, I think he's a little older than I am, but he was raised, like I was. And I actually brought up speaking in tongues yesterday with him, and he said, you know what? When I was involved in the charismatic movement in the early 70s, that's what we talked about, and we were so excited. And he said that he asked one of the elders, one of the priests, you know, why is it that things just petered out in the early 80s was when they started to realize that they weren't talking so much about, what he said, the gifts of the Spirit, which we, of course, you know, recognized were the manifestations of the gift. The response was that, you know, it just petered out because lack of interest and lack of desire to pursue, and however that happens, it happened in. And somebody mentioned earlier, you know, that there's times where we might not be as hot, but we're so thankful. I'm so thankful that God continues to put that fire in my heart to continue to pursue His desires, and put people around me that help kindle that fire. And even, what I shared with this guy, his name is Wayne, it kindled his desire to revisit the things that he was so excited about 40 some years ago. And it's thrilling to be, you know, he wants to, he even said, hey, the next time we get, hey, tell you what, there's a restaurant here in the States. It's called the Olive Garden. And he said, hey, maybe we can have lunch together and it's only $8 and you can get all this pasta and all this good food. And maybe you can share with me a little bit more about what we're talking about. And I was like, wow, yeah, sure. I would love to. And so, and then there's another guy that God reconnected me with 4 days ago that I was involved in a training program back in the mid-80s with. And I got reconnected with him in the early 90s, just briefly. He was living in the Harrisburg area, and we were just visiting here at the time, and he happened to be at my friend's house. And so I then, through the years, that's 31 years ago, the early 90s, and then all of a sudden I saw him on Instagram. And when I connected with him, he said, you know, I never thought of going on Instagram, but something told me to get on Instagram. And then I realized why. It was because God wanted me to be connected to you. And so we've been having this wonderful time, just sharing the things of God. And he's been sharing on his journey. God's been teaching him and showing him how to walk with him. And, something that he said to me just like got me to it was just like, he said, would you like to mentor me? Because I'm really by myself. He said, I want somebody to just see the things that I'm doing and just, if I'm not doing what I need to be doing, I want somebody telling me that I need to be doing it the way I need to be doing it. And I thought, wow, what meekness to, I never saw of it being of a mentor being that, but a mentor really is that. A mentor is someone who helps someone be better. And so I said, I would love to. And he sent me a couple of these short teachings that he said he sends to like 400 believers in Nepal. Every week he sends like a 2-minute sharing, and it was wonderful what he shared. Just real simple truth that was encouraging them to look only to God. And I said, the things that you're learning are the things that I'm learning of looking only to God. And so, you know, I had asked God, you know, when Lawrence was sharing, you know, just pray for ready ones, pray for laborers. And I remember specifically a couple of weeks ago when he said that is what I prayed. And then to see God put those two people in my life. And then I continue to see others that I'm able to, encourage. I have a customer who, I'd like to pray for, cause she's continuing to deal with a health situation and she's got, such a wonderful, wonderful heart. One of the things she said to me was that she would pray every night. She would get on her knees to pray for her daughter, because she found out her daughter 2 years ago was, dealing with a situation, and she made a commitment, you know, from her heart to God's, was to just get on her knees and kneel at her daughter's, bed. And she said she wasn't able to do that the last few months because of this condition that was causing all of her body, to ache. But then you know, God gave her the relief to be able to do that again. So I was just rejoicing with her over that, that, that he was working. And so when I get inspired, I'll send her a text or a song, or I'll call her and just share with her that God is a delivering God, that God is continuing to work mightily in her life, and that he wants her to look at the things which are not seen and hold fast to the good. And I was able to share with her a wonderful deliverance of my friend Ron Barton. Some of you might know Ron and Jane Barton. They live in Boise. They live and they fellowship with FA. And Ron had a very serious life-threatening eye infection. And I had the privilege of being part of that because God just placed it on my heart, 6 o'clock in the morning, and it was 4 in the morning, Jane's time, and Ron was still in, ICU, and God placed it on my heart to send, 2 Thessalonians 3:16, which I had never really looked at. I probably read through it and at times maybe heard it in a teaching, but it was this verse that just popped in my head and I was inspired to send it to her, and she right away responded saying that she would normally be sleeping at 4 in the morning, but it blessed her so much that I shared it at that time. It gave her great, great encouragement that God was wanting her to have that peace, that verse says that peace that he gives, that he gives at all times, that God would give us the peace that he gives at all times. And it was the last thing that Paul said to the Thessalonians. Well, the second last thing, the last thing he said was that he had written it with his own hand. And he wanted them to know of that peace that God was giving them. And so Jane, she said, thank you. And then she said, I'm going to sleep now. And so she went to sleep. And then the next, when she woke up and later that day, God spoke to her. And I would love for her to be able to record her side, but what was so cool, she shared it with me, and I was so blessed. But when I called her again, she wanted to go to Columbus. Ron was still in ICU, and she still was realizing that she had this planned trip to visit her nephew, who was going to be in a swimming competition. And God was placing on her heart that she wanted to go, and that she wanted her brother to pick her up. In essence, God was giving her vision to continue with what she had planned. And Ron was still dealing with the situation. So God was bringing her this great thought of continuing to expect that she would be able to take this trip and be picked up by her brother at the airport. And also in that same little time, he spoke of her. She spoke of how God told her specifically to take Ron home from the hospital. And she said all this information that was swirling around her was telling her the opposite. All the doctors wanted her to do this and that, and everybody else wanted her to do this and that, but God was saying, just take her home. And she said, God, I don't want any pushback. And so she moved on it and she told the doctor, and the doctor said, we'll get the papers together and you, and he can be leaving very shortly. So that's what happened. And then he got home and was surrounded by some wonderful believers that came over to encourage him. And they began to sing. They began to sing wonderful praising songs to our God. And it all culminated with everybody laughing because Ron was leading his picture. I think it was four women and Ron. And Ron was leading the song. I saw the light. I saw the light. And he got his deliverance. And it was wonderful. It was just so wonderful to see what our God continues to do. And all these wonderful, wonderful testimonies that we've heard of what God is doing in all these places, it just brings so much joy and so much excitement and lifts our faith, our expectation. So I'm just very, very thankful that God continues to work on our behalf and that we get to bring all the glory to him and all the attention to him that he so deserves. So that's what I had on my heart. I sure love this opportunity to be with you all and just to be able to be encouraged by you and to be loved by you and by him and our wonderful, wonderful Lord that made it available. So thank you.
Thank you, David, and amen. I mean, testimonies like these are wonderful to hear. If it hadn't been for the Old Testament, we wouldn't have all these testimonies, and wouldn't have been for the New Testament, we would have missed out on a lot of testaments, also there. Testimonies, I mean, in the New Testament, so that God is there for us and he will never leave us nor forsake us, we know for sure, so that we can walk on and stay blessed and be a blessing to others like we are meant to. So that's beautiful. Thank you again, David. Wonderful. I would like to ask Kendra if you are available with whatever.
I'd rather go a little later. I'm kind of working at the same time, but soon I'll be available. Is that all right?
That's fine. Keep on working, Kendra. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'll put up my hand, okay? And then you can decide after that when to have me go, great. Okay?
Thank you so much.
Of course. Right. Thank you.
God bless you too. All right. What about asking Kim? Go back to Bristol and ask Kim, are you there, sister?
Yes. Well, it's been a great night. I Lawrence sends his love. He's off to Mumbai tomorrow. And he just wants everyone to know that it's been a very busy time. Lots of great things are happening. I mean, I guess a lot of you read the great testimony about Jolty and her flight home. You know, John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe on him shall not perish but have life everlasting. And, you know, that starts at the very moment that you got born again. That there is no desire bigger that God wants you to have life everlasting, doesn't want us to perish. And so when we really do look to him in every situation, then we have no concerns. We have no worries, fears, or doubts. I think last week, Carl Morton shared on Proverbs, you know, but in Proverbs it says about my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Now, okay, that was Old Testament. Now the New Testament is that that only is two commandments. Let your heart keep those two commandments. And that is first that we love God and that we love our neighbor as ourselves. Why? Because for length of days and long life and peace shall it add unto you. You know, when we get tangled into the world, it doesn't add long life. It doesn't give us peace. But God wants us to have that everlasting life. So when he created the heavens and the earth, he created it in such a way that we would love him with all our heart, soul, mind and strength and love our neighbor as ourselves. Then it says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thine heart. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and of man. And then verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. You know, I think Van was sharing about his old man and the new man. You know, we got to remember that when we got born again, that old man died. And it's only us that resurrects him. And I remember once somebody sharing something with me and it blessed my heart so much. So I'll share it tonight. If you can imagine a rope around your waist and leading off of that rope are many other ropes and they're tied to the one that's around your waist. And one of them, we'll name those ropes. We'll say one of them is fear. One of them is mistrust. One of them is hatred. One of them is, I'm not good enough. One of them is, I have no faith. And you could name as many ropes as you want to. And then as you start to walk with God, these ropes are like bungee ropes. And as you start walking and you start to see God going to work, and then all of a sudden there's a curveball. Something doesn't go to plan, or maybe something's not quite working out like you thought it was going to be. And that bungee rope starts to pull you back again. Whether it's a fear, whether it's a doubt, whether it's a negative, whatever it is. But when we believe Romans 10, 9 and 10, when we believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, we got born again, that old man died. So you imagine that you have now cut that bungee rope of the fear. You've just cut it. It's gone. The bungee's gone. It flew off in a different direction. It's not attached to you anymore. The doubts, you cut it. So every time you move forward with God, there's nothing pulling you back into that old man nature. You name the ropes, whatever it is that's holding you back, and you cut it. And you remember that God made you in his image, that you are powerful, you are strong, you are mighty. Because verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. It's making it very clear that all we do is we trust God. And in all our ways, we acknowledge him. Right? In all our ways, in everything we do. Don't try to do it in that old man nature. Don't try to do it in that spirit first. In all thy ways, acknowledge him first. Because it's the spirit that will lead and guide you. And he will direct your path. Verse 7 says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You know, every time we go to that side of fear, worries and doubts, we're thinking evil. We're not lined up with that spirit of God where faith, confidence and trust. It is totally contrary and contradictive to God's word. Nowhere does God say that we're to have fear. Nowhere does it say we're to worry. Nowhere does it say we're to doubt. All God ever wants is that you live that life everlasting and you can enjoy that right now.
And why do we do that? Because it should be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Oh, wow. Like, you know how important that marrow is. That navel, you know, when that baby's born, all us mums, I believe it's Mother's Day on Sunday too, but all us mums have grown that child within our womb, you know, and it is fed through that navel. That's how healthy it really is. How that baby is just formed and created within you. Only God could have designed something like that. It is truly phenomenal. And it's marrow to thy bones. You know, if you had no marrow in thy bones, you'd have dry bones, mate. You'd be dead. You'd be under the ground. It's marrow to your bones. And then he goes on to say, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increases. Why? So that so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So, you know, we have so much opportunity to live that life everlasting right now, being full of the fullness of God, really being knowing that we have all sufficiency in all things, that we don't have to, you know, be on a bungee rope all the time, you know, two steps forward and then five steps back, because that old man nature wants to pull you back. You just need to cut those ties. And Jack, I don't know if you're still listening, but that blessed me so much, man. Because do you know what? I can't say to you or anyone else, you know, you just have to go to God. Pour your heart out to him. Right? We say it over and over and over and over. And people either don't listen or they don't believe that God will hear them. And it's got to be that personal thing. You get to that point in your life where you just say, sod it all. I'm gonna go for it. Okay, God, here's my heart. And he hears you 24/7, not just that one instance, Jack. Every time you go to him, he hears you. You cut those ties. You got great words, Jack, right? You blessed everybody on here tonight. Your confidence to share, like when Carl Morton said, okay, Becky, and I thought, oh, here we go. So great. Becky's going to do a great show. And then she said, oh, actually Jack wants to share. And I was like, wow, right? That would have blessed Lawrence. Well, he will hear it, but that'll bless Lawrence so much, man, you know, because we see it. We've lived it. You know, a lot of people on here have been around a long time. We have seen how God goes to work. And we have seen the signs, miracles, and wonders that he does for us as we stay faithful to him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Don't run off and start doing your own thing, you know, walking by your senses, because those bungee ropes are going to start pulling you back to that old man nature. And then suddenly, oh, I'm not worthy. Oh, I'm not good enough. Oh, I'm very fearful. Oh, I can't do this. No, cut the ties. Cut it. And really walk by that spirit. Give God a chance to really move in your life tonight. Really go to him and just do not hold on to that old man nature. You are a new creation in Christ. Why do you want to resurrect the dead man? The dry bones. This got nothing to give you. No, we go to God. Say what you want, not what you see. And do you know what? That statement was a turning point for me and Lawrence. It really was. Like, yeah, it was quite easy to say, oh, well, we don't have enough this week. You know, we'll do it next week. Or all different little sayings we'd say to each other. Or, you know, I'd say something to him. Oh, no, not this week, love. We haven't got it. No, change your confession. Because we're making God a defeatist when we say those things. And God's not a defeatist. And the other thing is, you know, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Long-suffering is patience. I live with Lawrence. I know a lot about long-suffering and patience. But, you know, God fulfills all those things for us. Right? He gives us that joy in our hearts. He gives us the peace
and the understanding and the wisdom and the knowledge that we have no lack in any area. When we walk with him, we have no lack. That spiritual man is perfect. And so our lives can be perfect. The more we acknowledge him and we do the things he tells us to do, then we will prosper and we will be in health, as 3 John 2 says. You know, it's just, it's been a tough couple of weeks for me, actually. It's even though Lawrence is in the house, usually, and we might pass each other in the stairs, or he might shout down, oh, make a coffee, love, or I'll shout up, tea's ready. But the fact that he hasn't been here, I've found myself quite lonely, you know, and I'm talking to myself, and then next thing I'm talking to God, and then I'm talking to the dogs, but the dogs don't reply. And it's not like God is, replying out loud to me. So it's very silent, very quiet, very peaceful in the house. And, I've had a real journey over the last couple of weeks, just really connecting back to God and not relying on Lawrence to do it all, and, you know, praying, and most nights we pray still. But, you know, like the mornings I wake up, he's not here, so I'm doing it on my own. And, you know, there's just that one-on-one relationship. And I can only encourage everyone to have that personal relationship with God and to be faithful in the little things, because then God is the rewarder and he blesses us openly in the bigger things. You know, why would he entrust you with so much treasure if you can't even take care of the little things? So, you know, Proverbs is a biggie. It really is. And it's a great comfort too. When you read it and you see that God's giving you nothing but encouragement all the time, that he just wills you on to be the best that you can be for him. So, you know, it's a great journey, and that we are not perishing right now. The world may be perishing, you know, the prices may be going up, but we are living a life which is more than abundant. Why? Because we have that eternal life. And it cannot be bought with money. And so I was speaking to somebody the other day, and they were sharing with me, it was very good friends with Danny. And, you know, he was just sharing how Danny's always shared about God with him. He said, and I did get born again. He said, but I haven't really done much with it. He said, and then I had my little girl. And I just seen God in a bigger way, that there must be something more out there. And then somebody said to him the other day, you know, there's an adversary in this world. The world's very evil. And he said, and I just sat for a moment and I thought, well, if there's an adversary and there's evil, that means there must be a God and every potential for good. He said, and it was just like a light bulb went off in my head. He said, so when Danny gets back from India, can you ask him to give me a call? And I said, yes, I will. So, you know, it's just that our words that we speak will never return void. May take a few years with some people. May take a few months with some people. Maybe exactly on that day that you speak it, somebody will get born again. But God's word never returns void. So, you know, we get out there and we show people what life is really about. Having that faith, confidence, and trust in the living God. See, God is not a religion. He's a living God. He's not made of wood or stone. He's not something that you worship at an altar. He's a living God, and he lives inside you. So that's what I wanted to share. Bless your hearts.
Thank you, Kim. And bless you so much. And amen to that. That was something else. That was full. And by the way, if you feel lonely, you can call Brita or myself anytime. well, thank you.
Thank you, Carl Morton. It's nice to have a human voice every now and again instead of a...
instead of just the dogs. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Bless your heart, mate.
I love you, Kim. Okay. It just, I thought about it when you were talking that, God is so big. He's so enormous. And, I think that we so oftentimes underestimate his concern for us. And, I have this thing with, like normal people, we have a car and, it's not a electric car. It's got, it's on gas. So, I'm praying God every time I need to fill it that I find a gas place, with the cheap prices, low prices. And, today I had an errand and, I was going by a gas station and I noticed that what the prices were, quite low. So I thought, okay, when I'm going back, I'm going to, stop here and tank up, fill up. So, the prices were at the same level as it was when I went the first time past it, and I stopped up and I as I was opening the fuel thing on the car, the price dropped even more as I was doing it. So I got a very good price when I filled up the car. And these things are so extremely fun because I love it when God really does things for you. Like you getting to a gas to a parking lot and it's full. That also happened to me today. And there was two cars that were hazing around and looking for spaces, and I thought, I don't want to chase those. So I just drove, you know, in another direction, and there was one car that pulled out. So I just backed in, and there was no fuss about that at all. So, I mean, God is very concerned with our needs, and he wants to bless us so much more than we really are aware. And we have to level up our believing and our expectations. And I know that my understanding towards God probably it goes in steps. It's like going up a stair, and your understanding or your belief elevates from one time to another time. And every time that you are reaching another level, so to speak, you understand more and you expect more and you believe more and you are so much more thankful. Everything God is opening up in your understanding towards. So it's so fun to be able to walk with God, and I really love that. I see Kendra has opened her finger and wants to share, so I'm going to mute and I'm going to ask Kendra if please.
Well, I am so blessed to have the honor to share. Thank you for calling on me very much, and you're such a blessing to this body of believers. Thank you for being here for us while Lawrence is gone, and for doing all that you do, because it is a blessing. God sees it, and I know he blesses you and will reward you for that throughout all eternity, just for walking in that wonderful love of God and endeavoring to do what the Father wants you to do. So, in the last, it's amazing to me how God is working in our lives every day, every week. I never don't have a testimony to share, because when God is real in our lives and we're living for him and walking with him, it's just going to be there. Things are just going to happen, awesome things. So, first of all, I don't think I shared this last week, but it's progressed even more. Deborah Bernstein connected me with this lady. Her parents are from India. Well, she has an Indian accent too, but she's a Christian that goes to a seminary in New York City. And we just had this wonderful, rich fellowship, and she asked me a lot of questions, and I'm, you know, able to share with her as far as what I know. that will bless her life. And it's just been amazing how God has worked. She's texting me every day, asking questions, being encouraged. And the Christian world for her has not always been very positive. She's in seminary and her heart is to do God's word. That's why she went to seminary. And she's had Christians turn on her because she's walking by the Spirit of God, and she'll say, God's working this in me. What if we try this? And then somebody will go to someone in authority that'll tell her that she's wrong, and just, you know, not from God. But it's so wonderful how she's already a laborer, but she just needs her knowledge of God, you know, sort of perfected a little bit. Don't we all, right? But I mean, even more so than any of us. And she just blesses my heart a whole lot. But one of my testimonies also is that because I made the decision to rent this condo that I'm planning to buy later, but I wasn't in a position yet because I still own my house in Florida, and I'm wanting to sell that and then buy this. Still wondering if that's what I should be doing. I'm praying on it, asking the Father, because that house is paid for. Maybe I just, at this point, and maybe it's a good time to just move to Florida, because my rent here while I'm waiting is $1,600. So every time I get paid, I send $400 to them, so that by the time the first comes, my rent will be paid. And it's kind of put me in a financially challenging situation. But God has just provided abundantly, because the first thing I do whenever I get paid is, or whenever someone gives me money, because some people, by God's mercy and grace, do abundant share to me. And as soon as they do that, I always, you know, give. And abundantly, really. And I know God's going to meet my needs. So it was kind of cool that last night, I was like looking at my finances and I was like, holy moly, what am I going to do? This is too much. I've got too many bills and not enough money. And I started to go into that concern thing where it started to become fear. But remember the roar of the lion, how it says that he goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Are they going to allow him? When you have a negative thought, like a fear about something that's going to happen to you, I realized this. I put it together with that verse, and I really believe it was God, that when that happens, you're going to have negative thoughts come across your head. But what are you going to do with that thought? If you dwell on it, then it becomes like Kim was talking about, doubt, worry, and fear. And we don't want anything to do with that. Just having a thought isn't even having a doubt. You just say, wait a minute, like it says, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And that word every could also be translated each thought. Because if we think of them as every single thought, I got to bring them all captive to Christ, that's kind of burdensome. But when we think each thought I'll bring captive to Christ, that's doable. We have a thought. Ooh, that's right on God's word. Amen. I'm going to do that. Or we have another thought. You're not going to make it. You don't make enough money to pay this much rent. Well, I believe God led me to move into this place. So I just say, wait a minute, God meets all my needs. He's going to take care of me. And we change our minds. So I was, instead of letting the fear enthrall me, I just prayed. And I prayed in the Spirit. And then I heard ding, and a believer had sent me $50 in PayPal. And so I immediately gave from that money, put it in my account, you know, after I gave from it. But
it's wonderful to see how God works. And my son the other day was inspired to send me $100. And he was like, you need more money coming in. I'm going to send you $100. And so I gave from that and kept the rest. And it was neat because when I kept the rest, there were a couple of things that I needed. And I bought them on Amazon. And then I said, oh my gosh, I forgot about this bill. I shouldn't have spent that $60. What was I thinking? And I just prayed about it. And then I get this $50 and then everything's suddenly all right. And it's like, it's all right that you bought something that you needed. God's got you. I've got you, you know? So it's really neat to see the Father work. You can't outgive God. When you give, it's coming back to you and a lot more. You can't outgive him. And we can't look at the circumstances and say, I've got this much coming in and this many bills. What am I going to do? Because then we get overwhelmed. But if we say, wait a minute, my God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. That means very little to the Western mind and to our particular culture. But you got to understand that 1,000 then was a really big number. Like when we were kids, I'm 63. When I was a kid, a million was a lot of money. People say, oh, he's a millionaire. Now you got to be a billionaire for people to think that you have a lot of money. Well, then 1,000 was a lot. And if you picture their money was primarily in goods, and beef was very, very precious and expensive. And even today, if you go to buy a beef steak, it's going to cost you a lot more than a pork chop, you know, or a chicken or some pieces of chicken or whatever. Beef is one of the more expensive, meats. So God said he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Think of it as 1 billion hills or 1 trillion hills. If you want to keep up with the government in America, you got to say 1 trillion, right? Or several trillion. But he's got all this valuable livestock, or we would translate that like gold or money. And he's got it on 1 trillion hills. He's got it waiting for, he owns it all. What is your need? What is your desire? Because your Heavenly Father takes care of you. There's no rich person on the face of the earth that should have their needs more met than you do. Because your spiritual needs, God's already met in Christ Jesus. And your needs on what you need in the senses realm, that's all included. That's why it says, my God shall supply all thy need according to his riches. Those trillion hills, riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus has made you rich. And that verse, someone said, you're preaching prosperity gospel. Call it whatever the heck you want. But I'm telling you that Philippians 4:19 is in the context of abundantly sharing, in the context of giving. Read it and you'll see it. It doesn't take a genius. You just read chapter 4, and not saying that you guys aren't all geniuses. I know you're spiritual geniuses. But I'm just saying all you have to do is read chapter 4 and you'll see that him supplying our needs is in the through his riches in glory by Christ Jesus is in the context of giving. So we just keep giving. We keep doing his will, and we don't pay attention to the garbage the world has to say about God and about Christianity. I can understand why some of them are kind of teed off at Christianity. There's been a lot of thieves out there that just taking all this money and, don't care about the needs of the body of Christ and the world. They look at that by their senses. They say, oh, Christians are just trying to take people's money. No, but a good, someone that has a gift ministry should make giving available. One of the people that, she probably sends me money the most. She's on disability. She doesn't have a lot of money, but she's learned in my fellowship to give of her first fruits. And she gives whatever God puts on her heart. And this time when she sent this $50 and I let her know how thankful I was. And then she got a text from her old boss saying, come back to work for me. You were the best worker ever. Now she's on disability, but she has to get money under the table to live. And so she cleans houses. And he said, I want to give you a raise. And he's giving her $22 an hour now. And I think before she was getting 15. But he wants her back. So she said, you know, I'm going to be earning some money this weekend. I gave and God has already blessed me. And it's just so wonderful to see God bless individuals' lives as they give. So I don't say no to anybody unless God tells me to, which I can't remember when the last time he did. If somebody says it's on their heart to help me, to give me money, I take it. And sometimes I'll be like, well, I don't really need any money. I'm all right. Give it to someone else that needs it. And then I blew it because then I find out, oh my goodness, this bill was coming in. I forgot about that. I wish I had that $50 or whatever it was. So I've learned not to say no, but to let God bless that person and that somehow I will need that gift if, you know, eventually. But I like David's sharing what he shared about the individuals, how God is putting these people in his lives so he can bless them. And it just blessed my heart, David, that you shared that. It was very, we can tell that you're a meek individual, that you're meek to the Father and that you're humble. And that's so important. We don't want to get caught up in pride. We want to be humble to the Father. Well, I love you all. Thank you so much for the privilege of sharing today. God bless.
God bless you too, Kendra. And thank you so much for the heart. That's beautiful. Very nice. And the first truth is so important. And because then we are moving into the spiritual level. And we are not concerned with what you're saying, with the physical. Like, this is what I have, and if I give anything, I don't have enough to give or to, you know, to live. But that's a lie, because God is always there to help us through. And I was told, I haven't checked it, but it says in the word, or it, I've been told that there are 365 occurrences of the phrase, fear not, in the Word of God. That is one for each day. And that means you have no reasons to fear. And the opposite is to have faith. And I'd rather say that's the more than 365 occurrences to the word faith, where we can trust God and we can look to him. And and know that when we do things according to his desire and his will and his heart, he will fulfill his promises towards us. So when we give, like you said, Kendra, you received $50 and you shared from it, and God blessed you back. And that's the way it works. That's definitely always how it works, because it's not necessarily so that 10 minus 5 equals 5. 10 minus 5 maybe equals 10. We do not know, because God's bank is so full of promises towards us, and he can just open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings towards us so that there is no room for us to receive it. Our banks get filled. Our whatever it is, our bank accounts, I mean, gets filled, and whatever we are in need of will be filled as we walk with Him. I think we have already been through everyone that is on net now with people who have had things that they wanted to share. So at this point, before we close off, and for us Europeans, we head for bed soon, I would like to have us to listen to manifestations from God. I think that that would be wonderful. I mean, we have all evening now listened to His inspired speech towards us. It's also always wonderful to listen to what He has on His heart towards each and every one of us. So I would like to ask those who are inspired to manifest, to unmute their microphones, and then I would ask whoever is ready to do so. Do we have anyone who would like to manifest? Peter, brother, are you there?
It's not letting me, but I do.
I had problems too.
I'm here too, but let her go first.
Okay, Kendra, go first, and then Kim, and then Peter.
For some reason, it's not really... Okay, I think I got it now. It's not showing my picture. The video isn't working, but yes, let me go. I, your God and Father, am a loving God unto you. Yea, I am a God of abundance and blessings, and I'm here for you. I'm holding your hand. I'm walking with you. I look upon you with great pleasure and peace because I see your lives and your hearts. So continue to look unto me and walk with me. I don't expect perfection. I only want you to walk with me.
Know for a surety, my children, that I am the living God and that I have placed my spirit within you, that you are a mighty conqueror in every situation, that you walk with great faith, great confidence, and great trust in your living God. Have no fear. Know that I am always with you, that I will lead you and guide you, and I will point you in the right direction. Don't look back, but look forward, knowing that great things are ahead. Know that I know your every desire, and those desires will come to pass as you step out in that faith that I have given you. Know that I am always loving you and tenderly taking you by the right hand, supporting you, encouraging you, willing you on to be the best you can be. Continue to speak my word boldly through that heavenly words that I give you, and you watch me go to work and bring your desires to pass.
And yeah, I am a mighty God, and I have made and formed and created you. My heart is for you. My heart is to bless you and to tenderly take care of you. What have I not done to bless your lives, and what will I not do? For I am a mighty God. I am a God that sees all, I know all, and I can do all. So trust me, put your hand in mine, and walk with me, my children, and we will truly be blessed.
God, how truly thankful we are for your wonderful love towards us. And we continued telling us your love, your concern, and your always presence in our lives. Thank you for your grace, for everything that you have filled us with by your heart. And we are thankful that we are able to call you Daddy, because that's what you are to us. Because you fathered us into this new existence of a spiritual level with you. Thank you, God, for taking us out of these dark surroundings and putting us to a place where we can see the light and walk in the light and be the light for those who are still hungry. And we thank you, God, for opening doors for those who are eagerly desiring a better life than they do have. And we know that you have called so many people, everyone, to come to a knowledge of the truth, and to come to salvation. And we thank you, God, for meeting these people so that we can bring the truth to them, so that we can fulfill our desire, namely to hold forth the word of truth to them. Thank you, God, for your wonderful love. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for hosting tonight, Carl Morton. Bless your heart. You do such a fantastic job, actually. obviously, Lawrence will be back next Thursday, so we'll be able to hear Bambi, because obviously we finished early tonight, so Bambi's probably not quite ready to leave work yet, but we love you, Bambi.
Yeah, I texted with Bambi. She's actually at work, so she's
working. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
But she sends her love to everyone. And now I see ML is back on. You dropped out. But you missed out, ML, on manifestations and closing prayers. So, but I know that now when Loris is back on the internet, he will be able to put this back on his website pretty soon.
Yeah.
The enjoyment of everyone who has not been able to log on tonight. And also so that we can listen to what was said one more time. So thank you for everyone's sharing and for your heart and for your love. This has been, for me, a great experience. And I love this opportunity to be able to be put on stage in Lawrence's place. This has been my third out of 3 weeks of hosting this fellowship. So next Thursday, behold, Lawrence will be back.
Yes.
So, until then, stay blessed and be a blessing. I love you guys.
I love you too, Carl Morton. My love
you. God bless.
We'll see you soon.
Bye, guys. Bye, Carl.
God bless
you,
everyone. God bless.
Bless you.
Bless you too.
God bless. Love you all.
Love you too, Kendra. Love you too, Bambi and Van Pedersen and Kim, everyone. Bye bye.
Good night. God bless.
Good night.